and we were there talking about different things, and then she said she wanted to show me something and ask me a question. And she went for her cell phone and explained to me that there is this lady who claimed that Jesus Christ spoke to her. And a lot of other things. So she found the thing on her cell phone. Of course, it was animated. It was not a real character. It was animated character. And she found it, and you have the animated person was there preaching and telling, like, she would refer to the lady as, like, say, Sister Susan, experience with Jesus Christ, and Christ appeared to her and spoke to her and gave her some directive. And Sister Walker asked me, I didn't get to finish all of it, but I watched enough because I had to leave. She asked me what I think about it. And as I said, you know, Sister Walker, well aware, of course, you always find a lot of people, and that will never end, who claim that Christ speaks to them. We have experienced that so many times. There is a hunger. There is a great desire. There is anticipation in so many people to have a personal should I say, flesh and blood experience with Jesus Christ, with God. There are a lot of men and women who, Christianity and their relationship with God will not be substantial, it will not be real, until either the angel bursts out of the cloud and appeared in the white gown and speak to them, or Jesus Christ with the print of the nail in his hand come and wake them out of their bed, and what and what. There are people who are deeply religious who will not be satisfied with their religion, with their faith. They will live with the belief that something is missing until they have this type of experience. This great yearning in us, or at least some of us, to have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or an angel appear to us and speak to us in person. This yearning is as a result of lack of faith. That's one. Two, it is where we are in search of tangibles, our tangible assurance that God is with me. We are not satisfied. So many people, it doesn't matter how close to God they seem to be, there's something in them telling themselves that they need some tangible assurance from God that God is working with them. It represents people whose faith live on the brink of uncertainty. Whose faith live on the brink of doubt. For them, they will never be certain about anything spiritual until they get this supernatural experience. These are people who need something more than the word of God to give them the type of faith that they need. And this is why everywhere you turn on the bus, people, they're preaching, God spoke to them last night. You walk on the street in any community, you can find a lot of people. And in all these cases, they are just expressing wishful thinking. It is wishful thinking. They are just expressing what they wish. And for them, they create their own reality. Because, as I've said, when I got up to after Sister Walk and myself spoke, I said, Sister Walks, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, no man or woman will hear from God outside of the gospel. I'm going to repeat it. And we go to the Bible to see some of the things that the Bible says. This side of the cross of Jesus Christ. And by that I mean, since Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and since the time of the apostle when the Holy Spirit delivered the message and the truth to them, which Jesus Christ promised would be brought to them, no man, no woman anywhere will hear from God outside of the revealed gospel. You as Christians need to understand this and hold on to it. Very important. In God's eternal past, before time began, the wise God planned and worked out every detail of our salvation, our eternal welfare, our guide, our direction, our belief system, the life and conduct he expects of us, the church, worship. God work out what man need to know to live to please him. All of that was worked out before the world was created. I mean every detail of what we would need to know to guide our lives after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is for this reason we are told in the book of Romans chapter 1, 17. Let us hear it.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed.
In the gospel, of course, you remember verse 16. The brother is reading verse 17. But verse 16 tells us that Paul says he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Then verse 17, just read by Brother Vivian, says what again, brother? For therein
is the righteousness of God.
Remember, therein, mean in there. That's what it means. In the gospel is revealed
from faith.
No, therein is revealed the righteousness of God. What does it mean? God's way of making us righteous is to be found in the gospel. Because in it, God revealed that. Look at verse 18 through 20 now. For the wrath of God is revealed
from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Men who hold God's truth in unrighteousness. Read.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
Whatever God wants man to know about him, it is manifested, it is made plain. Read on, brother.
For God had showed it unto them.
God showed it unto them. You see, this part of Romans is telling us what man needs to know, God has shown it. Read on a little further.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen.
They are not just seen, Brother Vivian.
Clearly
anything
seen.
About God that God wants man to know. The passage says they are clearly seen. What we need to know about God, about God's will, about Jesus Christ, about how to serve God, how to please God, that has been plainly revealed.
That's right.
What verse is that?
That's 20.
20 finish.
Being understood by the things that are made.
By the things that are made.
Even his eternal power.
Even the eternal power of the Almighty God. Are we all there? While you are at it, brother, turn to the book of St. John chapter 20. And we want verse 30 and 31. St. John 20.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Which are not written in this book.
Many other, the word signs, as most of you understand, means miracle. It means miraculous signs. Christ did many, and they are not written. Do we get it? What we are being told here is that many of Jesus' miracles were never recorded. Not because of an accident, but because God see that, well, let me reverse that. God gave us that which is necessary. Those things, those miracles done by Christ that we don't have in the Bible, in God's wisdom, he says, those are not necessary for our salvation. But notice now. Notice. These are written. Now for what purpose?
That he might believe.
Brothers and sisters, may I simple statement? But it is saying a lot. The Almighty God meant it, Jesus Christ meant it, that our faith
These are written that you may believe. Notice it didn't say that there will be continuous miracles and continuous revelation so that you may believe. No. These are written to generate faith.
That's right.
If you are ever going to believe in me, it must be dependent on that which is
written. Amen, amen.
Those that are not written, you don't need them in God's wisdom.
That's right.
Look at Ephesians chapter 3, 4 through 6.
Whereby, when you read.
Whereby, when you read. Brother Vivian, you notice he's talking again about things that are written.
That's right.
When you read, what happened?
Ye may understand.
You may understand.
My knowledge.
My knowledge.
In the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ. Verse 4 through 6, read that.
Which in other ages.
The mystery in other ages.
Was not known
to the sons of men. Read on.
As it is now.
As it is now.
Revealed unto his holy apostles.
Unto his holy apostles and.
Prophets.
Prophets. It's no reveal. It's no more mystery. Because God wants to make it known now the time has come.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body.
Notice that the Gentiles and the Jews should belong to the same church.
That's right.
I'm not preaching on the church as such, but you know you need to recognize that there, that so that the Gentiles should be of the same body. What is the body? The church of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
It's not God's will that there be multiplicity of churches. You have yours, I have mine. No, sir. God wants all of his people to belong to the same church. That's what the Bible's teaching. You reach verse 6.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God.
What verse is that, Brother Vivian?
7.
Stop there. On Ephesians, just a statement here. God's wisdom enabled the Almighty God to take into consideration everything that would be necessary for us to know. And everything that we need to know have been revealed in the gospel. May I? Why God will never personally, in tangible ways, appear to us? Why God will not send an angel? Why Jesus Christ will not appear to us? Because all that we need to live the Christian life has been furnished by God.
Amen.
And it's no accident God fixed it like that. When the New Testament was completed, during the life of the apostles of Jesus Christ, the inspired apostle, when the New Testament was completed, God had already made the decision that is final.
That's right.
Until the end of the earth.
Right.
Until judgment. Well, suppose I want to ask God something. Go to the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ that we call the New Testament or the gospel. Christ's revelation through the apostles. It is complete. It is adequate. It is timeless. It is sufficient. It is immutable.
That's right, that's right.
It is final and it is eternal.
That's right, that's right.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, as given to us by the apostles of Christ, it is complete. It lacks nothing we need. It is adequate. It is timeless. It is going to serve from now until eternity comes.
Amen.
It is sufficient. It is immutable. It will not change or adjust.
Amen.
And it is final and it is eternal. God know or rather if I want to put God in a time span, God knew that in the Christian age, in the dispensation of grace in which you and I now live, there would be no need for vision. Why? Because anything he would be revealing in vision that we need, he has already given it to us.
Right.
There would be no need for dreams to reveal things. One of the passages that will be coming up, the Bible talk about how the writer described it. There is an adjective there that it used to describe the dreamers. Filthy. That's right. Filthy dreamers. And when that passage is read, you're going to wonder why the inspired writer referred to these people as filthy dreamers. Because it was their dreams they were listening to. And go about telling that God gave them vision. And the inspired writer knew that they were just lying on God. So he referred to them as filthy dreamers. God knew that dreams would not be necessary. God knew that angel coming and speaking to us, waking us out of our sleep, that would not be necessary. Because all that God need to say to us, it has been said in the revealed gospel. God knew that new revelation. Almost every day somebody is telling us that they got a revelation from God. God knew that new revelation would not be necessary. God knew that there would be no need for supernatural visits, either by the Holy Spirit or by angel. Because all that man ought to know and need to know would have already been included in the gospel revealed to us,
right,
are given to us.
Right.
Let us turn to Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Brother, notice what he called it, another gospel. May I? Paul knew that there was but one gospel. Watch here now. The Jews who were coming at God, teaching the Galatians that they have to hold on to the law. Paul, it's in a sarcastic way, he referred to somebody coming and introducing to them another gospel, another good news. He's going to tell us there can be no other good news other than the one Christ brought.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
Which is not another.
There is no other. Read on.
But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Anytime. Don't move from the passage. Anytime. We come with something to supplement the gospel. It matters not how attractive, how enticing that religious teaching is. If it is not from the apostle, it is troubling our soul. Read on, brother.
But though we are an angel from heaven.
He's on the same subject, you know. But though we
are an angel from heaven.
It's important that we understand the passage that you hear so many times. But it's important that we understand. Notice, though we. The we here refers to the apostle.
That's right.
The apostle. Okay, though we are, read, brother.
An angel. From heaven.
Notice where the angel comes from. The angel is not from limbo, if there's such a place. The angel is not from heaven. Though we are an angel from heaven, come. And does what?
Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed.
Press the break here of a part. Notice than that which we have preached. Notice that which we have. May I? What the apostle preached then is giving you the idea it is fixed and it is final.
That's right.
So anything, any angel from heaven come and preach, that does not fit into what we have preached.
That's right.
Curse is on that angel.
That's right.
Why? The apostle is making what they, the apostle, preach, the standard.
Mm-hmm.
The standard that should measure all the teaching and preaching that man or angel will do. And you know what he said? If an angel comes and bring something the apostle didn't preach, curse is on that angel.
That's right.
That's what he said in verse 8. In verse 9, he did not use the word angel. He talks about man.
Mm-hmm.
And that means any living creature come, angel or man, and bring you something other than what we have brought. Curse is on that person.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, understand the implication of what Paul is saying. He's saying what God gave them, what they preach, it is fixed and it is final. Don't look for God to speak to you, bring another message, supplement this, brush up on this. No. It is perfect as it is, as it is. May I? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
All scriptures is given by inspiration of God.
All scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
And
wait. Is given. May I? The implication here is talking about that which is given. It's a done deal. He's not talking about continuous revelation. Something that will be given 5 years after, 10 years after. No. That which is given. It is profitable for
doctrine.
For doctrine.
For reproof.
For reproof.
For correction.
For correction.
For instruction in righteousness.
For instruction in righteousness.
That the man of God may
be
perfect.
So that the man of God might be
perfect.
Perfect.
Thoroughly furnished.
Thoroughly furnished unto every good work.
That's right.
You get what I got? What I have gotten from this is that the Almighty God has given us that which to make us perfect. Do you want to be perfect spiritually? God has already given that.
That's right.
Do you want to be thoroughly, completely furnished to engage in all the good works and all the ministries in the church? God has already furnished that. So why do you need dreams? Why do you need vision? Read on, brother.
17. Well, 18.
Wait, okay, well, stop there. Stop there, because we have some other parts. Let us hear first 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3.
Grace and peace
mm-hmm.
be multiplied unto you
mm-hmm.
through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
May I? You notice that the knowledge of God has something to do with our grace and the peace that we are going to experience. Very important. I didn't want to just pass by that. Read that again, Brother Vivian.
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Be multiplied unto you.
May I? This is one of the passages that's going to come up when we get back to our Wednesday night study on God's wish list. Yes, God's wish list. Within the next 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully we get back to it. And this is one of the passages that will be brought to bear on the lesson there. That God has positive plans and things in mind for you if you will allow him. Grace and peace be what?
Multiplied unto you through
the
knowledge of God.
Are you discontented? Are you miserable? Are you without peace? That's not what God wants for you. God wants is grace to be multiplied in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants
peace.
The peace you want in your life, God wants it to be multiplied.
That's
but Brother
right.
Mitchell, if God is God and have so much power, why not do it for me? You see, in many cases, we are our worst enemies.
That's right.
But notice the grace and peace, it is tied to something. True?
True, the knowledge of God.
Wait. Y'all get it? Wait, you didn't get it. The more you know about God and his son Jesus Christ, is the more likely you are to achieve this grace and peace.
Amen.
Because the grace and peace that he wants to be multiplied, it's not detached, it's not separated from knowledge of the Almighty God and his Son.
That's right.
You brush aside knowledge. You think it's a waste of time when we are here studying messages like this when we meet on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night? Every step you take to know God and His will, the church and whatever, better and more, you are taking a step towards gaining more peace in your life.
That's right.
Because if you are going to have the peace that God wants you to have while you go through life here, if you are going to have God's grace multiply in your life, you need to know God and Jesus Christ better and more.
That's right.
Read on, brother, in the same passage. Grace and peace be multiplied
unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
That's right. Knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus Christ. You cannot have too much of that.
That's right.
Because with that going to come the peace that you yearn for so much.
That's right.
The contentment that you yearn for so much. And the multiplicity of God's grace that we need so much. It comes with knowledge. Read on.
According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Y'all got that? God's divine power. Do you need a dream? Do you need a vision? Do you need an angel come from heaven? Well, I've explained the only reason you think you need that is because your faith. Remember, we were to live by faith. We are to live by faith. And that's why the Bible emphasizes faith so much. Take God at His word. Because God knew that this side of the cross of Christ, He would not be coming to us making appearance and supernatural appearance by angel and the Holy Spirit. God knew that. So He has given us the word. So the passage your brother just read, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. That the brother had reached verse 3, that the Almighty God has given us most things.
All things.
You sure?
All things.
That pertaineth
unto life and godliness.
Brothers and sisters, everything that man needs to live physically is here. Watch here now. There might be some people who have too much or take too much and don't want to share. But it's not lack of things. You see, it says life. That is to live the life that we live here. Don't take me to go to other passage. Because I can go to the book. Don't worry, go there, brother. Let me alone go there. I can go to the book of Acts of the Apostle, and chapter 14, where it tells us that God gives us rain and fruitful season, filling our hearts with, God furnished the physical things of life for man to live. The problem of hunger and need and starvation, a lot of times it's because of greed, dishonesty, selfishness. Even in areas of the world where there are drought, other places where there's no drought could alleviate the need of those who live in the drought-stricken area. So you see, man's selfishness contributes to a lot of our need. Can we get back to the passage of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3? That is divine power give us what? All things
that pertain unto
life. Wait, Brother Michel, what the word pertain mean? All things relating to.
That's right.
Our life and to live godly.
That's right.
It says he will give us, or he has given it us.
He has given us. Yes.
He has given it to us. Everything we need, it has been given. So you tell me why you need a vision. You tell me why you need the angel. You know, it's going to come down to what I've stated, lack of faith. And if it is lack of faith, the Almighty God has given you all that you need for faith, and that is his word.
That's right.
He's not going to give you anything else. God not going to give you a miracle to compensate for your lack of faith. God is not going to send an angel to compensate for your lack of faith. God is not going to send a still voice in the night.
That's right.
To compensate for your lack of faith. You know why? Faith must be based on the word of God.
Amen.
So in your search for tangibles, tangible assurance, in your having your faith on the brink of uncertainty, you will have to rock back to the word of God. No angel going to come. No vision. Oh, you may have nightmare because you eat late. But that is not message from God.
That's right.
Look at another. Remember what we have just seen. God has given us all things pertaining. Wait. Notice here too. Read again, brother. Read it again.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Sometimes read carelessly. The half given is really, it places it in the present perfect tense. Half has given. And that is important. The present perfect tense, our present perfect tense in anything, is expressing something which it's completed, it's a done deed. But the done deed flows over into the present. We can have some done deed that is of the past. In that way, sometimes writers, speakers use the past perfect tense because the thing was perfected, completed in the past. But the present perfect tense is something that is given now, but the given is complete. It's a done deed. And what did he say? The things pertaining to our life and godliness, the things to make us good Christians, serve God, worship right, become a Christian the right way, do God's work. At the time Peter was speaking, it was already given. So don't expect a vision. One more passage, one or two more passages, and the lesson will be here. Not that the subject is finished. Let us turn to Jude. Chapter. It has one chapter now? Okay. Do you know that even in writing, I put things like Jude 1 and then give you the verse? I do that all the time. You know, I find it awkward just to say Jude and give you the verse. chapter 1, when I put the chapter 1. Yes, so we are at verse 3 following. Verse 3 and 4.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
May we go back over that one? May we please? May I have your attention here? It's important that we get this. Read again, brother.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation.
May I?
Get this. What Jude is saying there, I may just drop here to Jude was the brother of James, and Jude was the brother of Jesus Christ. But Jude, in humility, described himself here as a servant, and that is as a bond servant, as a slave. He did not claim his attachment to Jesus Christ. I just dropped that. But watch here now. When Jude talk about beloved, when I what?
Gave all diligence to write unto you
mm-hmm.
of the common salvation.
Stop there. May I? What the passage is saying, but the way the King James worded it, it doesn't come out like that. Jude did not intend to write to the Christian about contending for anything. That was not Jude, what Jude set out or had in his mind. Jude wanted to write about the common salvation. That's what Jude had in mind. But the Almighty God, it seems, saw the need for Jude to write about something else. It's like Jesus Christ diverted Jude from what he had in mind. So he said, read.
It was needful for me to write unto you
mm-hmm.
and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
I'm not going to write what I had in mind. I'm not going to write about that anymore, or at least in this letter. What I am putting as foremost in your mind is for you to contend. Contend for the
faith.
Notice, brothers and sisters, the faith. May I just write up front? This is not referring to our subjective belief. That is, I believe in Christ. I have faith in Christ. That's not that faith. The faith I have in Christ are in you for that reason. It's subjective faith. It's something in me. It's an attitude I have. When I talk about I have faith in Christ, it's my attitude towards Christ, my disposition towards Christ. When I talk about my faith in you, it's my disposition towards. That is subjective because it is inside of me. This faith is not that type of faith. This is objective. This is not my belief. This is the thing belief. This is referring to that which I believe. The faith. This is referring to the doctrine of Christ. To the teachings of Christ. So he said, when I found a writing of the common salvation, I found a need to write unto you to contend
for the faith.
For it, notice. Are you there with me? In our times, at the workplace, you're likely for a person who has found out that you're a religious person to ask what faith you belong to.
That's right.
You have Baptist faith, you have Catholic faith, you have Jehovah's Witness faith. You have Seventh-day Adventist faith. Huh? You have Pentecostal faith. You have Brothers and sisters, notice, it is not the faith.
That's right.
It is the faith. And notice, it is definite. It is one.
That's
right. Singular.
That's right.
So this wipe out the Baptist faith, the Anglican faith, it wipe out all of them.
That's right.
It is one faith. But there are some other things to notice here. To write unto you, for you to contend. Am I right?
For the faith, which was once.
Wait, take time, dear brother. Contend. You know what that means? It means to stand up for it.
That's right.
To be willing to go through criticism, accusation for that faith. Are we all there? Not now. But there are some other things. Read, brother.
To contend for the faith,
mm-hmm.
which was once delivered.
Wait. What we got here, that it has been delivered. Eh?
That's right.
Past tense. It has been delivered. But Brother Mitchell, that doesn't mean it won't be delivered. That doesn't mean people won't get more revelation from God. In this modern scientific computer age, God may find that he had left out something out of the gospel. No, ma'am, no, sir. Our computer age was before God. 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
Today was before God.
That's right.
God knew then what would be happening now.
That's right.
It was delivered. Huh? And I'm trying to show you that you will not experience any more delivery from God in respect to anything spiritual or religious or whatever you need to know. Because it was
once.
It was once delivered.
That's right.
Once delivered. So tell me now why you need the angel to come and wake you up at night. Tell me now why you need a vision. Tell me now why you need additional revelation. Tell me why you need Jesus Christ to appear to you. Because if it is something relative to God's plan for your life spiritually, the Bible here tells me that it was once delivered. The delivery has been completed. And the once tell me that it's not going to be delivered in a continuous way.
That's right.
All things necessary for our salvation, the Almighty God has given. Brother Vivian, since you're at that passage, and I'm about to wrap up, you read verse 3 and 4, eh?
I haven't read 4.
You're at 4?
Yes.
Read.
For there are certain men crept in unawares.
Mm-hmm.
Who were before of old ordained
mm-hmm.
to this condemnation,
mm-hmm.
ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness
mm-hmm.
and denying the only Lord God
mm-hmm.
and our Lord Jesus Christ. End of 4.
Okay, step down to verse 8.
Likewise, also these filthy dreamers.
What?
Filthy dreamers.
What?
Filthy dreamers.
You know why
dreamers come in the text?
It is people who think that their dream is voice from God. That's where we have the problem today, you know. People you hear preaching on the bus telling you they got a message and they got a vision, it's usually their imagination, their wishful thinking, or their dreams.
That's right.
And this was common in the time of the apostle. So the apostle is not as kind as I am. That's right. I would just call them ignorant dreamers. The apostle called them filthy dreamers. Because they are contaminating the word of God.
That's right.
When you or I use our dream and go telling people that God speak to you. The Bible in the Old Testament tell us that when you have a dream, tell a dream.
That's right.
But when you have God's word, speak it faithfully.
That's right.
What he said about the filthy dreamers?
Defile the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Despise dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And speak evil of dignities.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses.
We'll talk more about that. What it is using, how Michael the archangel had to stand up against the evil angel.
That's right.
And what it is implying is the same way we have to stand up against these filthy dreamers.
That's right.
There's so much more to share, but but this will come up. We're not going to have time today to deal with that. We want to comment on the word once. The word once, I make a brief comment, but that word, the Greek word, has a specific and a particular meaning that is interesting. We're not going to get into that now. We want to share with you some other passages, but we're not going to get into that now. Because there is so much here that we may have to come back to this lesson. May I, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God, if you are here as a child of God, hoping God will appear to you in your sleep, in a vision, hoping an angel will come to you, you will wait until thy kingdom come. Why? Because when the Almighty God selected the apostles to write the gospel, the New Testament, the Almighty God included everything he knew that we would need. Everything. The Almighty God took everything into consideration, and his wisdom enabled him to do that. Whatever you need spiritually to relate to God successfully, it is in the gospel. Whatever, it is in the gospel. Now, you'll wait until thy kingdom come. It's the word of the gospel that God is using to call all men. You hear that Jesus Christ died for you? You hear that Jesus Christ was resurrected? Have you been told that Christ wants you to believe in him? Have you been told that Jesus Christ wants that belief, that faith, to push you on to repent, to give up your sinful ways, your disobedient ways, your ungodly ways, and turn to him? Have you been told that after you believe and repent, you must be willing to confess Jesus' name as Lord? Have you been told that you must be baptized? Wait. Not sprinkle. Sprinkling is not baptism. It's man-made invention for you to join a man-made church. You don't hear anything about sprinkling in respect to God's condition for man's salvation today. For you to become a child of God, you must not only hear, believe, repent, confess Christ's name, you must be baptized. And you can do that today. But don't expect God's voice to come and call to you out of the cloud or in the night. He's calling you now by the preaching of the gospel. No man or woman will hear from the Almighty God, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit outside of the gospel, this side of the cross. No man or woman.